This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans.
I appreciate the opportunity to explain why I think pay-as-you-go discipline is very important, and enactment of a statutory pay-as-you-go rule would be beneficial. I'd like to make 5 points. First, as you know, the U.S. faces a serious long-term fiscal problem that we need to address. But without changes in policies, we face the prospect of rapidly growing federal deficits and debt over time that in the long run will pose a threat to the U.S. economy, to the standard of living of Americans, and to the ability of the government to meet the needs of its citizens. Second, I would note that this proposal represents a significant break from the past. The last administration pushed deficit financing of nearly all of its major initiatives, including the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts and the 2004 prescription drug legislation. In contrast with this proposal, the Obama administration is proposing to bar deficit financing for its own top initiatives, like health care reform, even though that may make the initiatives harder to push through Congress. Proponents of fiscal responsibility should applaud that commitment. Third, while a well-designed pay-as-you-go rule can make a real contribution to fiscal discipline, it will have little effect if there is no real commitment on the part of Congress to abide by it. That's why we think criticism of the President's proposal to exempt the cost of extending certain specified policies that are scheduled to expire is misguided. To be sure, it would be highly desirable to pay for any extensions of expiring current policy. But it has become quite clear that there is no chance the tax cuts enacted in 01 and 03 that benefit the middle class, provisions enacted in 01 to limit the scope of the estate tax, relief to prevent the alternative minimum tax from hitting tens of millions of middle-class families, and the deferral of a requirement to cut Medicare physician payments by 21%, there is no chance that they'll be allowed to expire or be paid for. Doesn't make any sense to put in place a pay-as-you-go rule that says these extensions must be paid for when everyone knows they won't be. Rather than making a phony promise that will inevitably lead to a series of waivers of the pay-as-you-go statute, waivers that would undermine support for the rule itself and open the door to wholesale waivers for other costly new policies. Rather than doing that, it's better to acknowledge up front that these specified extensions of current law will not be subject to the rule, and to insist that the rule be strictly applied to any other legislation that is not paid for. As a result, I believe these exceptions actually strengthen the fiscal discipline aspects of the rule. And I would note that this aspect of the proposal parallels the treatment in this year's budget resolution with respect to House enforcement of its own pay-as-you-go rule. Fourth, I would note that the pay-as-you-go rule proved very successful in the 1990s, an experience that demonstrates the vacuity of claims that pay-as-you-go is some gimmick with no real effect. For a good part of the 90s, Congress and the President paid for virtually all increases in mandatory programs and tax cuts, including even paying for the extension of the measures known as the tax extenders. Pay-as-you-go contributed to achieving the first federal budget surpluses in 30 years. Fifth and finally, having made the first 4 points, I do want to emphasize that abiding by the pay-as-you-go rule will certainly not be sufficient by itself to address the nation's long-term fiscal problems. Budget rules such as PAYGO can be important. The actual policy decisions, including those made in coming months on issues like health care, will be even more important in demonstrating a real commitment to begin dealing with the problem. The decisions that will be made on health care reform are crucial I believe it's essential for Congress and the President to demonstrate a commitment to the PAYGO principle by fully paying for the cost of health care reform over the next 10 years. And it's also crucial that health care reform be designed to produce changes in our health system that begin the steps of slowing the growth of health care costs system-wide in both the public and the private sectors, without which we will never be able to assure sustainability of the federal budget. Let me close by saying that a failure to deal with a long-term fiscal problem will have deleterious consequences. Eventually, the run-up in debt would harm the economy and the standard of living of Americans. It's also possible that even before the debt rises to such levels, failure to address the problem would lead credit markets around the world to decide that continuing to lend large amounts to the U.S. to finance its deficits isn't desirable, pushing up interest rates and potentially triggering a financial crisis that could cost millions of U.S. jobs. It's also clear that spiraling deficits and efforts to deal with them in a crisis atmosphere could threaten crucial federal programs that provide assistance to the nation's most vulnerable citizens, as well as to veterans, students seeking college education, and many others. I need only cite what's going on in a crisis atmosphere in the state of California right now as an example. In that circumstance, rather than being addressed, vital unmet needs would grow. The bottom line is that virtually no one in this country will go unharmed if we simply keep kicking the can down the road and put off for years to come beginning to address the long-term fiscal problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a MyCenter account at centeronbudget.org.